I've never had them put the wrong name on an NTA, but it could happen. And the, you know, we're going to talk about the signature at the bottom when we get down there, but this reminds me a lot, maybe folks like Richard Fisher and others who've been around, this reminds me of the days when we had NSEERs in 2003, when they were just, you know, bringing in folks in masses and producing NTAs, and they were getting sloppy. That's what you're looking for, is sloppy work. And a lot of times, I challenged a lot of those based on the signature. We had four judges in Dallas at the time. Two hated my guts for doing it, and two hated the service for doing what they were doing, because they expected them to do their job. And that's all you're asking the court. Make them do their job. That's your job, to make the other side, the government, do their job. The factual allegations?
Yeah, but real quick.
Sorry.
I know we're discussing, George mentioned to keep these kinds of challenges in mind for motions to reopen and rescind. Also keep it in mind for bond proceedings we discussed. So, and that particularly matters with the box that's checked, the nature of the proceedings, right? Because sometimes people are in the position of having masters before having their bond hearings. Right. And if you admit to, you know, if you admit and concede and don't challenge the NTA and your client is charged as an arriving alien, what happens, George?
There's no bond. And sometimes you may have a client who actually entered with a visa and has been admitted to the United States, and they're charging them as an arriving alien. So make sure, you know, what we do, especially in removal, it's not a transactional relationship that you should have with your client. It really should be a very personal relationship, because the more you know about your client, the better you can advocate for your client. You know, it's those little details, and sometimes you may not find out until the very end, right before your merits hearing. I've had that happen recently in a very complicated case where this, you know, issue came up that was a game changer. And because it's difficult for families to talk about certain issues that happen in families, you know, I sit down with my client. I try to do it 3 months before the merits hearing and just go, so tell me what's going on with life. And it's just a conversation. And that's where things come out. You know, if I happen to walk into your home, what am I going to see? You know, what's hanging up on the wall? You know, you find out maybe their kid's an Eagle Scout. You didn't know that before. You know, you find out that there's medical issues that they didn't think was important. And you're sitting there going, no, that's critical, because we're doing a cancellation case. And now this opens the door to other possibilities here that I can present to a judge.
With the moving on to the factual allegations, if we're ready for that?
Yep.
So the factual allegations, I mean, obviously go over them with your client. That should be clear, and make sure that everything that is alleged is true. That's one. But also, even if they are true, there is still strategic decision involved in whether to admit to those, right? Because, for example, if you're walking in and you have no relief, you're either going to take a, you know, voluntary departure or a deport order, or what you could decide to do is put DHS to its burden and just deny everything and say, nope, they have to prove alienage. In times like these, when so many people are getting put into proceedings and DHS is so bombarded with cases, it is not uncommon for assistant chief counsels to walk into court without files. So what happens if you deny the factual allegations and they don't have the file?
And or there's a criminal, there's an alleged criminal conviction and they don't have
they
a
don't
file.
Have, right, and they don't have the records to prove it.
But the other thing too is, you know, I'll use Imran as an example of some of the things he was talking about. You know, just because the allegations say that your client was convicted of smoking that chimichanga thing, you know, maybe they smoked the chimichanga, but it was before, you know, 2016. Uh-huh. Or, you know, maybe they smoked the chimichanga, but it turned out that they were only charged with paraphernalia.
Or maybe it was a theft, but it was a 2015 theft, not a 2016 and forward theft, right? And so you want to really analyze those allegations for those kinds of things. Just as a flag, if you're going to decide to go in there and deny, this has happened to me a couple of times and it caught me off guard and I didn't really know how to respond.